We return to Monday's UN Security Council meeting on the situation in Syria.
I'll give the floor to the representative of Equatorial Guinea.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you very much, President.
Señores Stefan de Mistura,
Messrs. Stefan de Mistura and Thomas Markram
equipos,
and your teams,
muchísimas gracias,
I thank you
por vuestros exhaustivos
for
informes.
Your very in-depth briefings as received today.
La República de Guinea Ecuatorial expresa sus agradecimientos
the
a la
Republic
República
of Equatorial Guinea would like
Consejo
to thank the French Republic and those other members of the Council who called for the convening of this afternoon's meeting.
Al
We'd also like to thank the President of the Security Council for having decided to hold this afternoon's meeting under the agenda item Threats to International Peace and Security, the situation in the Middle East. The agenda item is most apt, given that without a shadow of a doubt, the events of recent days in the Middle East do represent a genuine threat to peace and security, not just in that region of the Middle East, but also internationally. From the protests in the Gaza Strip, with the loss of so many lives, to the missile attacks in Syria, and not forgetting the reprehensible chemical weapon attack that took place in Douma, all are situations of deep concern for the Republic of Equatorial Guinea. This weekend just gone, we woke to news that added a further low to the most painful and bloody episodes of the Syrian conflict. According to reports published in the international media on the 7th of April, Saturday, in Douma, in eastern Ghouta, more than 40 people died, the majority of them women and children. They suffocated to death through inhalation of a poisonous gas. President, as we heard in this very chamber on the 4th of April from the Director and Deputy High Representative for Disarmament Affairs of the United Nations, Mr. Thomas Markram, the OPCW fact-finding mission in Syria provides conclusions and recommendations that are not binding and do not entail attribution of responsibilities should evidence of the use of chemical substances prohibited under the relevant international treaties be brought to light. We take this opportunity in light of that last related fact to recall the obligation of all parties to take tangible steps for the full implementation of Resolution 2118 of 2013. Moreover, we underscore the fact that recent events and the way in which the fact-finding mission's hands are tied make it abundantly clear that there is a pressing need for an independent investigation mechanism of the United Nations to be set up, whose task must be focused on preventing impunity, identifying those responsible, and preventing to the best of its abilities future attacks. As far as the Republic of Equatorial Guinea is concerned, no use of chemical weapons should go uninvestigated or unpunished, for which reason the alarming information coming out of Syria, particularly that pertaining to the use of chemical weapons targeting civilians, as we've heard both, as we've heard in the case of Douma, which we're discussing today, as well as similar events in the past, must be investigated in an exhaustive, fair and impartial, as well as independent way by the international bodies, upholding the standards of the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, the OPCW. The outcomes of the aforementioned investigations must be made public, and those responsible must answer for their crimes before the implacable gaze of Lady Justice. President, the fact that chemical substances continue to be used, particularly targeting civilians, is cause for serious alarm for the government of the Republic of Equatorial Guinea. At the general debate at the 72nd session of the General Assembly of this House, the President of the Republic of Equatorial Guinea, His Excellency Mr. Obiang Nguema Mbasogo, condemned in the strongest possible terms the use, the manufacture, the stockpiling, and the distribution of chemical weapons in armed conflicts. It is worth recalling at this juncture that no member of this Council should consider itself exempt from this obligation, an obligation that reflects Chapter 1 of the Charter of the United Nations, that enshrines the determination of the member states of this House to forge a world of peace and to ensure the well-being of humankind. Moreover, I would make the point that the Security Council now finds itself at a crossroads as far as options go. We can either strengthen the presence of international forces with a view to future military intervention, as some military powers have been hinting of late, or we can pursue international negotiations, be they on the Geneva, Astana, Sochi, or Ankara tracks. We need look no further than the history books to find a plethora of proof that military intervention has never solved a conflict, rather it leads to fragmentation of the theaters of war and prolongs conflict, sowing desolation and ruin in its wake. President, as far as the Republic of Equatorial Guinea is concerned, the only solution to the Syrian conflict is to be found in the words spoken yesterday by Pope Francis in the traditional Sunday Mass in the St. Peter's Square in the Vatican. And I quote, "There is no good war, there is no bad war. Nothing can justify the use of such instruments of violence against unarmed people and unarmed populations. Political and military leaders must choose another path, the path of negotiations, the only path that might lead to a peace that is not the handmaiden of death and destruction." And here I end the quotation by His Holiness the Pope. President, we conclude our statement by reiterating the appeal already made by the Republic of Equatorial Guinea on past occasions to those countries and actors who have influence in Syria as well as in Israel and Palestine to wield that influence in order to push the parties involved in these conflicts to move to mitigate the suffering of their people and to push them to sit down to negotiate to put an end to this deep-rooted and serious threat to international peace and security which remains entrenched in the Middle East. Thank you very much. I thank the representative of Equatorial Guinea for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Kazakhstan.
Mr. President, we thank Special Envoy Stefan de Mistura and Deputy High Representative for Disarmament Affairs Thomas Makram for their briefings. We express gratitude to the members of the Council for initiating this emergency meeting, which we hope will help to take timely and objective investigation of the alleged incident in Douma. We firmly believe that the UN Security Council remains the main and sole body authorized to counter threats to international peace and security. Unfortunately, the situation within the Council is becoming increasingly strained. In order to achieve proper solution of these critical issues, it is of utmost importance to ensure that the Council acts unanimously in a balanced and pragmatic manner. This requires from us greater flexibility, negotiability, rising above our national interests for the benefit of achieving peace and stability. Any controversy with prejudices and mutual accusations without getting the conclusive results and irrefutable evidence will have only destructive effect. Going that will not lead to the results that the world community expects from us. As for the chemical attacks in Syria, we mourn together with the families of those killed and express our solidarity to them in the face of such atrocities by which innocent civilians become victims of the relentless confrontation of the opposing parties. Kazakhstan has always taken a firm and resolute stand, uncompromisingly condemning any use of chemical weapons as the most heinous action and unacceptable war crime. As for the situation in Douma, we call for early investigation of this alleged incident and clarification of all the circumstances. The Council has the greatest responsibility to act on verifiable facts, not only before the world community, but before ourselves. But more than that, it is history itself which will become judge to our decisions after a certain time. Therefore, we need to make sure of all the details of the incident. In this regard, we would like to draw attention to the following aspects. First, are there any other reliable sources in addition to White Helmet's claims, and who can verify the veracity of the assessments and testimonies of these sources? Some claim that the number of victims is 70 people, while others report that more than 150 victims have succumbed, yet others believe it is only 25 victims. Only one victim is too much. But today, Russian Federation denies the attack at all. So there are many allegations and assumptions regarding the very fact of using a chemical poisonous substance. Secondly, we consider it is important to take into account the fact that the government of Syria has repeatedly notified us and requested us to check their reports that a number of terrorist groups on the side of the opposition were making attempts to transfer chemical weapons and prepare chemical attacks on the territory of Eastern Ghouta. Actually, they were not given due attention and with opportunities to verify the full facts. We are not advocating for one or the other side of this conflict, but demand only a full and objective investigation on the basis of which we can make a thoughtful decision. Thirdly, we consider it's imperative to have an independent investigation. And here, we again recall the urgent need for an investigative mechanism, the recreation of which depends on the leading members of this Council, who must make every possible effort to find a common ground on that. We urgently need an objective and verified information, as well as immediate, independent, transparent, and unbiased investigation before any decision or any action, including a unilateral one, is taken. We fully support the proposal that the OPCW fact-finding mission be sent at the earliest. We're sure that the Syrian side is really interested in objective investigation, so Damascus and the opposing parties should provide all assistance and secure access for the speedy visit of the OPCW inspectors to the incident sites to collect facts on the ground. Finally, we once again call for the preservation and strengthening of the unity of this Council and reach a consensual decision to preserve peace and stability in the world. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Kazakhstan for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Kuwait.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the beginning, we thank you for holding this meeting promptly. We were one of the countries that called for holding this meeting. We thank the briefers, Mr. Stephane de Mistura, the Special Envoy of the Secretary General for Syria, and Mr. Thomas Makram, Deputy to the High Representative for Disarmament Affairs. Since the beginning of this year, the state of Kuwait has occupied the Arab Sea in the Security Council. One of our most important priorities that we have declared clearly before we started our membership is that we defend and uphold Arab causes and give voice to these concerns of Arab states, and we work towards peaceful solutions. And we deeply regret that Arab questions on the agenda of the Council has not seen any real critical or tangible improvement, particularly the Syrian crisis. The Syrian crisis, which witnesses more deterioration, Security Council resolutions on these questions are not implemented. The Council is in charge of maintaining international peace and security, and it is unable to shoulder its responsibility. It is divided and has no unity as it faces these threats. Hence, these crises continue, and the suffering of the people in our region continue as well. Mr. President, the state of Kuwait condemns in the strongest term the heinous attacks by rocket and barrel bombs against the residential areas under siege in eastern Ghouta, including the attack on Douma on Saturday, the 7th of April. 5 days ago, we marked the first anniversary of the Khan Shaykhun incident, where chemical weapons were used in accordance with what the JIM confirmed, and it did identify who used them. And 2 days ago, tens of civilians, including children and women, were killed and injured in attacks and airstrikes against Douma, and many cases of asphyxiation were recorded. And many international reports confirmed that these crimes are tantamount to crimes against humanity and war crimes, which brings us back to the main demand that we have all agreed on in this call, that we need to create a new mechanism to identify whether chemical weapons were used and identify who used them and hold the perpetrators accountable in Syria. A mechanism that would guarantee investigations that are impartial, transparent, transparent and professional in all chemical attacks in Syria to maintain the principle of ending impunity. The perpetrators of those chemical crimes in Syria for 5 years have enjoyed impunity, no punishment whatsoever, particularly in August 2013 when we saw with our own eyes the first crime of the use of chemical weapons in Eastern Ghouta. We do not want to mark a first anniversary of the Duma attack without a conviction. We want an accountability mechanism established by this council. We want an accountability that would identify who's in charge, who perpetrated those crimes of chemical use in Syria, and they need to be held to account, be it a government, an entity, a group, or individuals, in accordance with the provisions of Resolution 2018. The council needs to shoulder its responsibility towards the maintenance of international peace and security. The use of chemical weapons is a true and real threat to the non-proliferation regime. The continued attacks against civilians in medical facilities and residential areas, whether through airstrikes or the attacks by artillery, are all flagrant violations of the international community's will and Security Council resolutions, particularly Resolution 2401, that demanded a 30-day ceasefire without delay at the least. Provisions of Resolution 2118 were clear and definite as it called for accountability vis-à-vis the use of chemical weapons in Syria, as it is a flagrant violation of IHL and human rights law. However, what we see now is a clear violation of the provisions of said resolution. We, as members of this council, cannot accept the status quo, the continued use of chemical weapons in Syria. It is another disappointment for the Syrian people. We were not able to end their suffering in the use of these weapons in Syria. Mr. President, this council shoulders a collective responsibility. The Syrian people are sick and tired of following meetings of this council without seeing tangible results on the ground. This council was able, at many points in time in this particular bloody conflict, was able to reach a unified position to end the crisis. We need to overcome our political differences and establish a new accountability mechanism in Syria that has professionalism, credibility, and impartiality. And these elements are available in the American draft resolution under discussion, which includes updates on the Duma incident. We call all members of the council to build on this draft as a good basis for any negotiation on a future mechanism. We continue to look for a political solution as the only means to end the crisis in all its dimensions. The political roadmap is clear and agreed upon based on the Geneva 1 communique and Resolution 2254,
and
in a way that would maintain the sovereignty, independence, and unity of Syria and meet the aspirations of the Syrian people in a decent life. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Kuwait for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of the plurinational state of Bolivia. Thank you very much, President. We're grateful for the briefings that we've heard from Mr. Staffan de Mistura, the Special Envoy of the Secretary General for Syria, and from Mr. Thomas Markram, the Deputy to the High Representative for Disarmament Affairs. President, we would like to begin by expressing our deep-rooted alarm in light of the latest reports of the alleged use of chemical weapons in the city of Duma. Bolivia would like to reiterate its condemnation of the use of chemical weapons or agents as weapons, because we consider they an unjustifiable act and a criminal act as well. We believe that there can never be a justification for the use of these weapons or agents, irrespective of the circumstances or irrespective of by whom they are used, as they constitute a serious crime under international law and a serious threat to international peace and security. We believe that the fact-finding mission, in line with its mandate, should, in the most methodological and objective way, verify the use of these chemical weapons. Should their use be verified, then their use must be transparently investigated in order to ensure that the perpetrators can be identified and they can be tried by the appropriate bodies in order to ensure that there is no impunity. We need a representative, independent, international investigative body that can carry out a credible and conclusive investigation, and that is a major challenge before all of us. We must ensure that we live up to our responsibility of not politicizing the work of this Security Council nor exploiting it for our own ends. President, we regret the fact that, to date, there are still obstacles that hamper the full implementation of Resolution 2401, and we call upon all stakeholders to spare no effort in order to ensure the full and effective implementation of said resolution across the entire Syrian territory. We decry the ongoing shelling and indiscriminate attacks destroying mainly civilian infrastructure, such as health facilities. We also condemn any military activity in residential areas. Such actions only lead to further displacement, injury, and increase the number of dead, adding to the already heavy toll of 500,000 dead as a result of the situation. We call upon all parties to guarantee respect for international humanitarian law, international human rights law, including humanitarian access across Syria, to all persons in need, in line with the relevant resolutions of the Security Council. President, we reiterate that the conflict in Syria is not one that can be solved militarily. The only solution is through an inclusive political process which involves dialogue and negotiation which is led for and by the Syrian people. This will allow for sustainable peace to be achieved in that country without any outside pressure or meddling, in line with the provisions of Resolution 2554. We reject any attempts to introduce fragmentation or sectarianism in Syria. President, Bolivia would like to make it clear once again that we reject the use of force or the threat of the use of force. We also reject the pursuit of any unilateral course of action, given that such unilateral courses of action are illegal and contravene the principles of the Charter of the United Nations. Moreover, they undermine the sovereignty and territorial integrity of the Syrian Arab Republic, and they also move us further away from any political solution. President, as my final point, on the events in Salisbury, we would like to reiterate the need for an independent, transparent, and depoliticized investigation to take place in line with the prevailing standards and norms of international law, particularly within the framework of the Chemical Weapons Convention. We believe that cooperation of the relevant parties in the Salisbury case is vital for headway to be made through the relevant diplomatic channels as we seek to solve this event and to strengthen, as we so do, the non-proliferation regime. Thank you very much, President. I thank the representative of Bolivia for his statement. I shall now make a statement in my national capacity. We would like to thank Messrs. Stefan Di Mistura and Thomas Markram for the information that they have shared with the Council. Peru expresses its deep-rooted concern in the wake of fresh reports on the use of chemical weapons targeting civilians in Syria, including minors, this time in Douma. We underscore that, by way of response, there is a pressing need for an in-depth investigation. Peru condemns any use of chemical weapons wheresoever said use occurs. We would recall the fact that such use constitutes an atrocity crime, a threat to the maintenance of international peace and security, and such use of chemical weapons also violates the relevant non-proliferation regime and is a violation of international humanitarian law. We believe that, as an immediate course of action, the Syrian government and all the parties to the conflict, including those countries with influence that they can wield on the ground, must abide by and implement the humanitarian ceasefire ordered by this Council through Resolution 2401. Said parties must also cooperate with the fact-finding mission dispatched by the OPCW. To that latter end, we once again highlight the need to endow ourselves with an independent and impartial mechanism to attribute responsibilities. Investigations must lead to the trial and punishment of perpetrators. The members of this Security Council cannot countenance impunity. We also feel it worth recalling that any response to the Syrian conflict and to the atrocities therein must be pursued in line with the Charter of the United Nations and guided by that framework. Peru, therefore, opposes any use or threat of use of force that violates international law. We would like to reiterate our alarm in light of the worrying consequences that the continuation of the unbridled barbarity witnessed in the Syrian conflict represent for stability in the Middle East and for the wider international order based as it is on the minimum standards of humanity and peaceful coexistence. By that same token, I wish to conclude by appealing to the members of the Security Council to pursue unity and the common good as our watchwords, commensurate with our solemn responsibilities. As far as the Syrian case is concerned, this will entail the implementation of the ceasefire and an effective protection of civilians, as well as the investigation of the atrocity crimes committed and the sanction of those responsible. It will also entail a genuine resumption of the political dialogue on the basis of Resolution 2254 and the Geneva Communique, all this to usher in lasting peace that the people of Syria so desperately desire. Thank you very much. I now resume my function as President of the Council. The representative of the Russian Federation has requested the floor to make a further statement. The Russian Federation has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, like my Dutch colleague and friend, have 3 points to put forward. The first point is as follows. I wish to turn to my distinguished colleague, the Permanent Representative of the United States, Nikki Haley, with a request, a kind and a courteous request, to refrain henceforth from naming any legitimate governments, from labeling them as regimes. And specifically, I am referring to the Russian Federation. I've already stated this request once already, but Ambassador Haley was not present here, and I requested that this be conveyed by colleagues, and now I state this personally. Next time, I will halt the meeting for a point of order if this takes place again, if this continues. Second, the distinguished representative of the United Kingdom mentioned that Syria is different from Salisbury and that in Syria there is no investigation. In Salisbury there is an investigation. We would very much like to learn more detail about this investigation. We would be grateful if you were to familiarize us with this investigation. For the moment, we know nothing other than what that the alleged victims of the use of a chemical warfare agent were suddenly, thank God, turned out to be alive, and it appears that they are almost fully healthy now. However, nobody has seen them yet, and we fear for the state of these important witnesses. For the moment, according to reports from newspapers, we learned that the CIA proposed to shelter the Skripals in the U.S. and to give them new names. The participation of the CIA here in and of itself speaks volumes. However, this also means that we possibly, perhaps we'll never see these people, key witnesses with what took place, to what took place. What else do we know? We know about the expeditious destruction of the pets of the Skripals, their household pets, and their cremation of these pets and their guinea pigs. And we also know about their intent to take down their home, to demolish their home and a restaurant. We also know that Yulia Skripal's sister, Victoria, and who wished to meet with her, her request for a visa, a British visa, was denied. Why is that the case? That's all we know. So once again, I would note that we very much wish to learn more detail about what is taking place. We would be grateful to our British colleagues if they would regularly familiarize ourselves with the course of the investigation. And lastly, third, Mr. President, today we gathered here not to address a situation in Duma. The agenda item is called Threats to International Peace and Security. And yet, of course, the situation around Duma and the so-called chemical attack served as a prompt for this. But today's meeting, what Staffan de Mistura spoke about and what the Secretary General previously spoke about, we are moving to a dangerous threshold. And unfortunately, this is not being understood by those playing those dangerous games and spreading about and disseminating reckless threats. Reckless threats, irresponsible threats. Today, once again, we heard what we have heard on a number of occasions already. None of our Western colleagues wishes to hear and to listen to the objective information. Nobody casts any doubt on the sole version of what took place. What kind of investigation? Why do you need it? You've accused Damascus of a chemical weapons attack, not only prior to an investigation, but even prior to the report surfacing about this incident. You are not convinced by the information we provided to you today. You merely don't wish to hear this. We already told you there are no witnesses to the use of chemical weapons at all. There are no traces of chemical of weapons, neither the victims, neither killed, nor the wounded. Nobody turned to the hospitals. The footage that was shown was clearly staged, which was provided by the White Helmets. We demand that the OPCW mission immediately visit Duma, immediately visit to the area of the alleged chemical weapons attack, to interview medical staff and residents, and to collect soil samples. My British colleague mentioned that an investigation alone can determine who the perpetrators were. I agree. However, this in no way prevents you from identifying perpetrators, labeling the Syrian regime as this. These two don't really go hand in hand. The regime, quote unquote, I stress that the regime, quote unquote. I reiterate, we insist that the OPCW mission immediately visit to Duma. The Syrian authorities and Russian troops stand ready to provide the necessary conditions for this to take place. And lastly, with respect to the investigative mechanism in the independent, we also are in favor of this. Let us recall that our draft resolution with a proposal to set up such a mechanism is in blue. And we stand ready to adopt it today, if necessary. Thank you, sir.
I thank the representative of the Russian Federation for his statement. The representative of the United Kingdom has requested the floor to make a further statement. United Kingdom, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I apologize for taking the floor again. But just to clarify, the Russian ambassador's English is far too good for him not to have understood me when I spoke on 5th of April. The investigation that is underway into Salisbury is an independent police investigation, and the United Kingdom will be very pleased to update the Council as and when we have something to say. One more thing, now I have the floor, if I may, Mr. President. The other difference between Salisbury and Syria is that the United Kingdom is a party to the Chemical Weapons Convention in good standing, and the Syrian government has not complied with its obligations as certified by OPCW. Thank you.
I thank the representative of the United Kingdom for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of the Syrian Arab Republic.
Thank you, Mr. President. The American representative said that Russia spends resources to support what she called the Syrian regime. My question to her, what about the United States? The United States is spending its resources in Syria on what? To provide food and milk to Syrian children, or to provide armed groups with weapons, armed groups that have committed the most heinous crimes against the Syrian people? Or is it spending resources on your planes and fighter jets that have been so active in Syria? My American colleague has been threatening my country in most security councils sessions. Does she acknowledge then that her administration does not give this Security Council any weight? It does not respect the principles of international law or the United Nations as a whole? Let's test the credibility of what she presented. And note that I'm not referring to the American administration as the American regime, because it's shameful. We cannot do this in the United Nations. So let's test the credibility of what she's presented. She said this Security Council must act to achieve justice in Syria.
طيب حسنا.
Okay then.
امتحاني لها هو.
My test is.
أن تسمح إدارتها وبلادها.
Her administration.
بالكشف عن نتائج تحقيق لجنة الأونسكوم.
Should allow the disclosure of the results of the UNSCOM.
في العراق لمدة 18 سنة.
They investigated the presence of WMDs in Iraq for 18 years. This commission was headed by a Swede, Hans Blix. And as you know, this commission didn't find anything after 18 years of investigation or examination. They didn't find any chemical weapons. They didn't find Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola. Nevertheless, in 2008, towards the end of 2008, the Security Council, in a closed meeting, decided to end the work of this commission and bury the archives of this commission in iron boxes. And only the Secretary General knows how to open these boxes. He is the only one who has the locks. There was one condition. These boxes can only be opened after 60 years. What is so shameful in this archives? Why did we need to bury them in boxes that cannot be opened in 60 years?
Sayyid al-Rais.
Mr. President, the government of the Syrian Arab Republic condemns in the strongest terms the ruthless Israeli aggression that took place this morning on T4 airport in Homs governorate, killing and injuring a number of civilians. This aggression is a flagrant violation of Security Council Resolution 350 of 1974 and Security Council resolutions on counterterrorism. This aggression would not have occurred were it not for the unlimited and consistent support by the American administration to Israel. The American administration guarantees immunity so that Israel is not held accountable. This allows Israel to continue to practice state terrorism and threaten peace and security in the region and in the world.
فإن غياب أي ذكر للعدوان الإسرائيلي في بيانات
سفراء الدول الغربية. Western countries did not refer even to the Israeli aggression in their statements. That means that they are complicit and they support this aggression.
أن صديقي العزيز السيد ديمستورا.
Unfortunately, my dear friend Demistura did not listen to Netanyahu saying this morning that it is Israel that launched this aggression. This is why I was surprised when he said that the United Nations is not able to verify the identity of the perpetrators of this aggression. Well, Netanyahu himself, Mr. Mistura, is saying and that he launched this aggression. Why didn't you refer to Israel? Why didn't you explicitly say Israel is to blame for this aggression? This Israeli aggression is an indirect response to the successes of the Syrian Arab army. The army succeeded in expelling armed terrorist groups from the suburbs of Damascus, rural Damascus, and other Syrian territory. Those groups have been shelling the Syrian people, kidnapping civilians, detaining them, using them as human shields. Damascus alone was targeted by 3,000 missiles within 3 months, killing 155 and injuring 865 civilians, most of them women and children. The Syrian government stresses that the repeated Israeli aggressions did not and will not protect Israeli agents from terrorist groups. They also will not and did not divert the attention of the Syrian Arab army from the decisive military victory over terrorists. Mr. President, the American anti-racism activist Martin Luther King said, and I quote, "A lie is like a snowball. The further you roll it, the bigger it becomes." End of quote. It seems that this wise saying holds true at any time and at any place. The governments of some countries are lying incessantly. Fortunately, though, they're not quite perfecting the details of their web of lies. Just as the famous character of Baron Munchenhausen in German literature. Mr. President, some permanent members have become professional liars, and this in itself is a weapon of mass destruction. Through lying, Israel was occupied. Through Palestine was occupied. Through lying, they fueled the war in the Korean Peninsula. Through lying, they invaded Vietnam. Through lying, they invaded Grenada. Through lying, they occupied Iraq. Through lying, they destroyed Libya. Through lying, they established Takfiri terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda, Taliban, ISIS, Al-Nusra Front, Jaish al-Islam, and the list goes on. And through lying, these countries are trying to defeat Syria and prepare the ground for an aggression. It is worthy to note that the statement, the negative statement of the U.S. representative is in contradiction with a statement made by General Matthews, Defense Secretary. He said in an interview with Newsweek 2 days ago with the journalist Ian Winkey,
هذا الصحفي وضع عنوانا للمقابله مع وزير الدفاع الامريكي ماتيس.
This journalist used a title for this interview. I will read it out in English.
Now, Mattis admits there was no evidence President Assad used poison gas on his own people. هذا ليس وزير دفاع سوريا.
This is not the Syrian Defense Minister, it's the American Defense Secretary. How coherent is this administration? Mr. President,
on the 10th of
December 2012, so 6 years ago, we conveyed a formal letter to the Council with the symbol A/67/628. So before the first time the operators of terrorist groups claimed that sarin gas was used in Khan al-Assal on March 19, 2013. We informed you that the United States, the United Kingdom, and France have launched a campaign of allegations claiming that the Syrian government might have used chemical weapons. Back then, we warned that such allegations would encourage governments that sponsor terrorists to provide chemical weapons to armed terrorist groups, and then claim that the Syrian government had used those weapons. What happened in the past few years in Khan al-Assal, Al-Ghouta, Kafr Zeta, Latamina, Tal Minnis, and Khan Shaykhun, and other villages and towns in Syria, confirms unequivocally that we had warned of 5 years ago.
Mr. President,
The United States, the United Kingdom, and France have been so eager to hold one meeting after the other, based on fabricated information. This is part of a deep crisis that we're witnessing, and they want to involve other council members in this crisis. These three countries created in the Security Council since 2013 a big elephant of lies and deceit, and this elephant is living today in this chamber and is stamping with its huge feet on the credibility of this council. It seems that these countries called for holding this session to support terrorists and to obstruct the agreement reached about Douma. However, these countries were a bit late because the terrorists wanted this meeting to be held before they were forced to reach an agreement with the Syrian state to leave their strongholds and hand over their weapons. These countries were late in fulfilling their promises to the terrorists. It would have been better not to repeat this broken record and not to rely on false reports from mercenaries, so-called white helmets, that were established by British intelligence officer James Lemessurier. He's British, but his name is French. What proves that these countries were lying is that the residents of Douma left the city safely. 170,000 civilians left the city safely. Those terrorists chose to reach an agreement with the Syrian state as the last resort for them and their families. Buses are transferring them and their families to the city of Jarablus after they refused to settle their affairs and they chose to go to the city of Jarablus. The vast majority of residents chose to stay where they were and to be on the side of the Syrian state. It turns out that allegations of some states, some of the members of this council, on the deteriorating humanitarian situation in eastern Ghouta were lies, just as what we witnessed in Aleppo. As it turned out, that warehouses of terrorist groups were full of medication and food, monopolized by some elements who sold these items to civilians at exorbitant prices. At this point, I have to ask, ladies and gentlemen, did the three countries call to hold this meeting to legitimize the Israeli aggression that occurred this morning, or to impede and obstruct the implementation of the agreement? In this context, I must thank the representative of the Russian Federation that recognized the true nature of what these countries were preparing for. So he called to hold a meeting under the agenda item Threats to International Peace and Security. This is the correct title. Mr. President, we conveyed to the Security Council, the OPCW, and what used to be called the Joint Investigative Mechanism, 145 letters, the latest on April 1st, 2018. 145 letters. And I thank the permanent representative of Kazakhstan, who noted that you don't read those letters and you don't respond to those letters. Those letters contain accurate information stating that armed terrorist groups, possess toxic chemical substances, notably chlorine and sarin. We warned time and again that those groups are preparing for crimes of use of chemical weapons, and they're working with the white helmets to fabricate evidence, to take pictures of locations and film Hollywood-like scenes, everything staged, all that to blame the Syrian government, to influence public opinion, and to incite against Syria and its allies. This is why these countries called for holding this meeting to create pretext and justify any military aggression on Syria. It seems, Mr. President, that the directors of this bloody terrorist scene failed to perfect their web of lies. We know that in each of those theatrical scenes on the alleged use of chemical weapons by the Syrian government, we note that these substances never find their way to armed elements. It's always children and women. Chemical weapons that discriminate against armed elements, but you know they love children and women. These substances only need to be washed away with water in front of the camera. Just water, you know. Water heals everything. Rescue workers never need to wear protective masks. And it seems that the Syrian Arab Army only uses those substances that it doesn't possess to begin with. Because the Americans destroyed them on the Ray ship in the Mediterranean. So the Syrian Arab Army only uses those substances that it doesn't possess in the first place, only when it is making military progress. How strange, how strange. Mr. President, this campaign lacks the minimum standards of credibility. It relies on fabricated information from social media. Armed elements have been fabricated in this information. I announce from this rostrum that Syria is prepared to facilitate a fact-finding mission from the OPCW to the place of incident in Douma as soon as possible to investigate and verify these allegations. We agree with the Russian proposal to listen to the fact-finding mission's report after it visited Raqqa. We welcome this visit as soon as possible. I hope this offer does not face the same fate as our first offer that we presented to the Secretary General Ban Ki-moon after the incident in 2013, in March 2013, in Khan al-Asal. Back then, we asked the Secretary General to provide assistance to the Syrian government so that we're able to investigate what happened in Khan al-Asal immediately. It took the UN 4 months and 11 days. As you recall, Dr. Silstrom was sent to Syria. It took the UN 4 months and 11 days. That is how the UN interpreted the term immediately, 4 months and 11 days. And when Dr. Silstrom arrived in Damascus to investigate what happened in Khan al-Asal, some groups claimed that chemical weapons were used in Ghouta. So Dr. Silstrom moved from Khan al-Asal to Al-Ghouta. And just so you know, till now, no investigations have occurred into what happened in Khan al-Asal. Mr. President, today we directly accuse Washington, Paris, London, Riyadh, Al-Doha, and Ankara of providing ISIS, Al-Nusra Front, Jaysh al-Islam, Failaq al-Rahman, and dozens of affiliated terrorist groups with toxic chemical substances to be used against Syrian civilians. We accuse them of starting those massacres, of fabricating evidence to falsely blame the Syrian government of the use of toxic chemical substances to prepare the ground for an aggression against my country, just as the United States and the United Kingdom did in Iraq in 2003. Yes. We say to the United States and the United Kingdom and France that in Syria and Iraq, we eliminated the vast majority of ISIS elements within 3 years, not within 30 years, as Mr. Obama has said, within 3 years and not within 30 years, as these countries had planned to justify undermining the stability of the region. Yes, we say to Saudi Arabia today that we eliminated coordinated its terrorist tentacles in eastern Ghouta, and I mean Jaish al-Islam gangs. Yes, we say to Qatar and Turkey that we eliminated their terrorist tentacles in eastern Ghouta, and I mean Al-Nusra Front gangs and Faylaq al-Rahman gangs. And I say to all those who exported to us armed, moderate, genetically modified opposition that we eliminated these toxic exports. And we call upon those exporters to bear the consequences of their actions, as some elements who survived would return to their original countries. It is very simple, really. Let me just say that on our borders with Turkey and in the separation zone with in Golan, we still have tens of thousands of good, moderate terrorists with their light weapons, long beards, black banners, and white helmets. Whoever wants to adopt them, please submit an application to their operators. They're ready. They're ready to be adopted. They can go to the West, they can go to Europe as refugees. In conclusion, Mr. President, the Syrian Arab Republic stresses once again that it does not possess any chemical weapons of any type, including chlorine. And we condemn once again the use of chemical weapons at any time and anywhere and under any circumstances. My country, Syria, stresses its unlimited cooperation with the OPCW to fulfill the commitments stated in the Convention on the Prohibition of the development, production, stockpiling, and use of chemical weapons. The Russian Center for Reconciliation in Syria announced today that military experts has carried out investigations in Douma, and these investigations suggest that there are no signs of the use of chemical weapons there. And while treating the sick that are being treated in the hospitals of Douma, Russian doctors have proven that these patients have not been subjected to any chemical substance. So what we're witnessing here is really a Hollywood scene. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of the Syrian Arab Republic for his statement. There are no more names inscribed on the list of speakers. I now invite council members to informal consultations to continue our discussions.
Ah, ah, ah.